Chapter 2. Café de los Amigos. Had a furious King Henry II known what was going to happen when he publicly denounced Thomas Becket, the Archbishop of Canterbury, he would have held his tongue. "Who will rid me of this troublesome priest?" he supposedly spat out in 1170, enraged to see his authority undermined by the Church. Becket had refused to crown his son King of England. Hearing these words, four knights slipped out and galloped down to Canterbury, seat of Thomas Becket, the head of the Church of England. The rest is history. The four knights entered the cathedral and cut open Becket's skull, leaving him in a pool of blood on the floor of the cathedral. The shock waves were felt across medieval Europe. The king himself had to do penance at the scene of the murder, and from that day for centuries, pilgrims flocked to Canterbury. Canterbury has now been overrun by a modern form of pilgrim, known as the tourist. Just a couple of hours from London, it is small enough to visit in one day, yet charming enough to be etched in memory forever. From the station, Æthelflæd had to walk through the park, under the city walls, and into the pedestrian centre, which was as always bustling with shoppers and sightseers. From the hill outside the city, the cathedral can be clearly seen rising out of the city, dwarfing the houses around. Yet in the city itself, it is hidden down narrow side streets. Æthelflæd ignored the ant-like procession of tourists and hurried straight down the whole length of the high street. Most tourists stop at Westgate, either to stroll through the gardens or to take a Venetian-style punt along the river. Others simply see the cars beyond the tower and turn back. A few are drawn to a garish corner restaurant opposite the tower, painted in yellow, green and red. This was Café de los Amigos. Æthelflæd made a mental note. It had taken her just over a quarter of an hour on foot, and 15 minutes by train. Some days Natalia could give her a lift, but not always. It was still early, and no more than a couple of tables were occupied. Natalia's mum was in the dining area and came forward to greet her with a warm, open smile. Her name was Nieves, Snows in English, which Æthelflæd found quite strange. She wondered whether there were also people in Spain called Rains or Cloudy. Although she had been living in England for a few decades, Nieves' accent was just as marked as it had been on the first day. She rasped her H's, rolled her R's, cleaned her O's, and painfully vocalized every consonant, vowel, and syllable. It seemed as much of an effort for her to speak as it was for Æthelflæd to listen. "Æthelflæd," Nieves beamed, "if you go to the kitchen, Natalia is going to explain you that you must make." "Thank you for this opportunity, Ms. Nieves." Æthelflæd never knew how to address Natalia's mother. Although Natalia swore her parents were married, they had different surnames. Was she Mrs. Oliveira or Ms. Castro? Her insistence on Æthelflæd using her first name was a godsend, as it sorted out her dilemma. "You know it's a trial, don't you, Ethel?" said Natalia, as she tied Æthelflæd's apron around her waist. "If you show them what you're made of in the next few days, they'll take you on. You have to prove you're worth it, though." "I'll show them, and I'll show you, Nat. Breathe easy, and tell me what I have to do." "Tip one. You have to be quick, but never stressed. The diners have to see that you've got everything under control." "Okay. Tip two. You'll always get some twits who make your life difficult. That's what they come in for. They give you a huge list of instructions and complain about everything." "So what do I do? Do I stick chili powder in their drinks?" "You put a curse on their food and smile." "No problem. I can do that. What else?" "Don't waste trips. You're going to be walking to and fro all evening. Look around and pick up plates on your way back, and make a mental check of every table you're serving. It's easy to forget one." "Right. Is that it?" "The most important thing is to make a note of all the orders as soon as you hear them, because then somebody else is going to ask you for something and you'll forget. Have a look at the menu and ask them any questions you have, because there'll be things you need to explain to the diners. Things will start getting busy in half an hour. Ethelfled sat and looked at the menu. She was interrupted a few minutes later when the door opened and she felt Natalia's hand on her shoulder. "Your first customers, Ethel. Go and get them and remember to smile." Ethelfled took a deep breath, held her hands together to keep them from trembling, and walked towards the door. "Good evening." It was 5 o'clock, but evening sounded better if they were going to have a meal. They were a young couple. It looked like a good start. "Well, that didn't go too bad. I can handle this," Ethelfled said to herself, heading back to the kitchen, having led the customers to their table. And so it seemed. The tables began to fill up slowly. Ethelfled wrote down the orders in the notebook, picked up the dishes on her way to the kitchen, brought out the dishes and served the diners without any fuss. Natalia was buzzing between the tables as her parents sweated over the pots and pans in the kitchen. It was past 7 o'clock already. Ethelfled had had no time to think, let alone look at the clock. Another group arrived, two families together, with children. Ethelfled joined two tables together and asked them what they would like to drink. "A Coke!" shouted a boy. He looked spoilt and sounded bad-mannered. "I want a Coke." "You've had enough soft drinks for the day," his mother said timidly. "Bring him a water." "No, I need a Coke." The boy screwed up his face. "A Coca-Cola." There were two other children at the table, looking at the boy open-mouthed. They must be the other couple's children, reckoned Ethelfled. "That's enough, Daniel," the father spoke out. "No more Coke." "We'll all have water, please." "Coke! Coke! I want Coke! Give me Coke!" he screamed, and suddenly a knife hit Ethelfled in the stomach. As Ethelfled stooped down to pick it up, a glass hit her on the shoulder and smashed onto the floor next to her hand. "Be careful, Daniel." His mum took out her serviette to clean the boy's face. "You'll hurt yourself." "What is this?" thought Ethelfled, rubbing her shoulder. The mother turned towards the other family. "He's overexcited, poor thing. It's been a very long and tiring day." She completely ignored the waitress beside her, which was just as well, because Ethelfled was glaring at her darling child. The boy noticed Ethelfled staring at him and stared back with a thin little grin on his lips. She sent him a message with her eyes. "Do you think you're going to get your Coke, you spoilt little brat?" before clearing her throat. "I'm afraid we've run out of Coke. Would you like a large bottle of water?" "Perfect. You see, Daniel, there's no Coke anyway. We'll get you some Coke later when we leave, so don't worry." The mother was stroking her son's face. He was red-faced and on the verge of tears. "Patience, Ethel," hissed Natalia, as Ethelfled went for the dustpan and brush. "Remember the curse." "Tutankhamun, look and learn," Ethelfled intoned grimly, grabbing the brush and returning to the table. "I want my Coke," Daniel was repeating over and over, but now everybody was ignoring him, though his mother was holding his hand. She did not look at Ethelfled. "Okay, first crisis dealt with," Natalia whispered to her friend when they crossed in the kitchen. "You're doing well, Ethelfled. Go and get these ones. That'll take your mind off it." Another couple had come into the restaurant. Ethelfled was already beginning to mark the newcomers on a mental register. These ones looked harmless. Foreign? Mediterranean, maybe? Approaching retirement age? Chance of tips? No surprises like throwing cutlery onto the floor, that was for sure. Ethelfled gave them a wide smile. "We are two," the man declared. Ethelfled blinked. "They are two? They look more like 70. It took her a few seconds to adjust. The couple frowned at her suspiciously. "Of course, a table for two. Follow me." She took them to a table beside the window. These people had tips if she mind them. "May I take your jackets?" She handed them the menus, took their drinks orders and left them. The restaurant was buzzing. Ethelfled began to feel the pressure. Damn, the cheesecake. No onion in the salad for the lady. Order for table 7. Which one is table 7? Ethelfled couldn't believe that Natalia was serving twice the number of tables as she was, without breaking sweat. The foreign couple called her over. The man waved at the bread basket in front of him. Burro, he said. We need, I don't know, burro. A knife, sir? Water? A napkin? Napkin? It's like a serviette, but made of cloth, not paper. You use it to clean your mouth, she explained helpfully. Tovagliolo, no, food. He made a gesture of feeding himself. To eat, burro. The man tapped the table with each syllable. No problem, sir. One moment, please. Ethelfled cornered Natalia. Natalia, I think these people are Spanish. What does burro mean? Natalia was carrying 4 plates full of food. Burro, that's donkey in Spanish. Are you sure that's what you heard? He's calling me a donkey? I don't think so. You're a girl, so you're a burra, not a burro. She laughed as she swept past. Donkey? Ethelfled had heard of horse meat in the old days, but donkey? Foreigners eat all sorts of things, she thought. Much better to stick to British food. The couple looked at her as she approached. Donkey, she told them. But I'm afraid we don't have any, sir, she said, as sadly as she could. The lady looked startled. The man spread his hands open. Burro? He asked. Donkey, sir. No, it's not possible, I'm afraid. We don't serve donkey. You don't serve donkey, he repeated. The man looked across at the lady. Her face looked like thunder. Non servono asini, she replied furiously. That was when Ethelfled began to realize that something had gone wrong. Asini? The man had turned crimson. You insult me because my English is bad? You? The man stopped speaking, but his mouth kept moving, like a badly dubbed movie. The woman was taking her bag and jacket and talking to the man in Italian. No, please. There's been a misunderstanding. Please don't go. I didn't mean... Ethelfled pleaded, holding her hands together. But it was too late. Not another word was exchanged. The couple wordlessly marched out of the restaurant, noses lifted, and Ethelfled felt a sudden silence descend on the restaurant as the door closed. Natalia was shaking her head. Nieves was looking out from the bar. The whole restaurant was staring. Ethelfled willed her cheeks to cool down. She was sweating. She started filling her tray with cutlery and glasses from the table. She hardly knew what she was doing, but it worked. Whispers turned to chatter, and it sounded like the volume was being turned up again. Ethelfled breathed out and felt the heat leave her face. She turned with the tray and began to walk across to the kitchen. With no warning whatsoever, she suddenly felt her right foot hook onto something. In slow motion, she saw her tray fly away from her, smashing against the floor with an explosion of steel and glass. Ethelfled felt herself land face first on the tiles less than a second later. When the noise finally stopped rebounding across the walls, the restaurant fell quiet for a second time. Ethelfled would have liked to stay that way, with her face against the floor until closing time. But she heard Natalia's and her mother's footsteps, and summoning all her courage, she lifted her head to look back over her shoulder. She knew exactly what she was going to see. A whole chorus of eyes was aimed at her, but Ethelfled focused on just one boy. Cradled tightly by his mother, who was frowning in disapproval, Daniel was grinning maliciously at the girl below.